I'm Miriam Neff with Widow Connection New Beginnings and this program Starting Over Financially. I've been a counselor for 26 years, have written some books, and done a little bit of living.
I'm Valerie Neff Hogan. I'm an attorney and a certified financial planner, and I've counseled with couples and singles regarding budget and benevolence issues over the past 20 years in churches.
And you might have noticed her middle name, Valerie, is my daughter, and we share a common concern for people that go through hard times that need to start over. And in this particular program, we want to focus on emotions because we know that when something happens that's unexpected, you may say, I know there are classes on finances, and frankly, I'm not walking in the door because I'm hurt, I'm angry. We're going to talk about those emotions. But the important thing is we cannot ignore them. Sometimes people do that. And we want to say, we've got to acknowledge these emotions, and we're going to give some suggestions with different ones that will help you.
Today, we're just going to talk about the different emotions that I think we've seen in ourselves or working with people who have gone through a big crisis or change, and how some of these emotions can really whip us around. And if you think about when you want to address financial matters, getting whipped around is not really the way to go about it. When we're making financial decisions, and we do want to keep making them, even though we're in a tough spot, you want to do this on purpose and in a calm manner, you know, addressing the facts. And that's very hard to do when you're in crisis or your emotions are just all over the place, in a sense.
I love, Valerie, bringing scripture, because scripture always gives us wisdom on any matter. And 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and of love and self-control." Now, you may say, well, I'm not feeling that now. I get that. The distance between our heads and our hearts is 18 inches. That's not far. But if you are newly divorced, maybe spouse is incarcerated, or you become widowed, maybe you've gone through job loss or foreclosure, it feels like your head is on one planet and your heart is someplace else, and you have a hard time connecting the thinking and the planning and the behavior that's going to be good with how you're feeling.
The good news about that is God does care for where we're at and wants us to get on our feet. And here he says, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, meaning our emotions can be all over the place, but he's going to help us out with these things.
So let's start right in with an emotion that's rather troubling, and that emotion is anger. And I can just say from different experiences and people and life, and even in our family, that job loss is a tough thing. And there are times with families where divorce happens. Anger is like almost an automatic emotion, and it's very powerful. And that anger says, I want to act. I want to do something brash and bold, and I don't like what's happened. I don't like the people that are responsible for my job loss, or the corporation or the organization that had it all wrong because I'm great and they let me go. Or, for instance, in a divorce situation, we don't marry with the goal of divorce. We want that marriage to work. So when it doesn't, there can be anger at this person we used to be married to, and sometimes a whole lot of other people that we feel contributed to the problem.
Anger can be a real disaster when we've gone through this crisis and now we're trying to look at finance to start over financially. I cannot think of one instance in my life or in the lives of those that I've worked with over the years where anger was helpful in any way to their financial process. Can you think of even one?
No, it is energizing, but you want to throw things or you want to bash things about. And scripture is very clear. Ephesians 4:26 says, "In your anger, do not sin." So God made our emotions. He created us with these feelings, so he knows we're going to be angry. And sometimes we can be angry at things he's angry at, and that's, we call it righteous indignation, and that's okay. But a lot of anger, frankly, is anger because of something that hurt us, or we're self-seeking, or we want to promote ourselves. And in that case, when God says, in your anger, do not sin, don't let the sun go down while you are angry. Now, you can't solve the problem in 24 hours, but you can make a plan. And one of the plans might be to hold your tongue. The book of James is full of advice on that, as is the book of Proverbs. Hold your tongue. Don't say things that you'll want to take back later. Frankly, you may say, "I'm sorry," but it will not mean that they've never heard those words or observed that action.
And I would say in this area financially, I have never seen really anger get resolved with a credit card properly or with a checkbook. So in this one, I would say it's best to maybe just start counting backwards from 100 or 1,000 before you sit down and make some kind of financial move out of anger. You really would want to examine your motives and think, if I'm acting in anger, is that a real good reason to be making this purchase or to be spending on something or to be avoiding something that I need to address? So I would just say this one can be a real disaster and want to get it resolved before making financial decisions.
So are you saying that if I have a credit card issue and I call that number and I'm mad about the amount and I'm mad about the interest, if I say bad things to that person on the phone, are you saying they're not going to change the numbers to what I like?
Probably not. But I would guess in addition to that, the Lord is not going to be too happy with how we treat that person on the phone. So aside maybe from stay away from your credit card when you're that angry, you might want to stay away from the customer service helpline for a few minutes as well.
Sounds like really good advice. Well, another emotion that's really prevalent in big change is depression. And from my background as a counselor, clinical depression has 6 identifiable behaviors that mean one is clinically depressed. Now, we're not going to address all of those here, but I am going to say that depression is a normal reaction to a crisis. But there are some things that happen with depression that don't help in moving in a positive direction. For example, one of the things in depression we typically might see the world as gray and sad and we don't want to act. But in depression, almost always, we must make some changes because the world is not the way it was before that crisis. And as long as we're immobilized and numb, we're not going to be making those change steps that are necessary.
I think that we've both seen with grief, with depression, this kind of freezing when it comes to budget matters. And I get the feeling of, you know, just today, want to stay under the covers, pull them over my head and not do a whole lot. But if you're in crisis and there are some financial things that need to be addressed, those credit card bills, those creditors, you know, the mortgage foreclosure or whatever's kind of coming at us is not going to stop and wait while we're under the covers. Now, it might wait a day, but it's not going to wait a couple of months. And so, you know, in that one, I would just say it could be very difficult. Sometimes all you can do is just take the very next step forward and just maybe look out for that and examine, am I getting depressed? Am I feeling grief? Of course, but can I just take the very next step in addressing these financial matters before they become more of sources of problems?
And a couple of steps that can be taken is take care of your body again. Now, I understand this. I understand that in a terrible time, you might decide, I love my refrigerator, or I hate my refrigerator, and your weight shows it either in a negative way or adding weight. That's one of those things where it doesn't help your depression to succumb to those kinds of things. Even becoming more active when you feel lethargic, there's evidence that shows this is positive for the way our brains operate. So those are some things that one can do in depression that actually helps bring you back to whatever that new normal is going to be.
In that activity, I would say, when we're talking again about finances, you may want to get active, but probably not with the credit card. So in other words, as you get active and go walking, maybe leave the credit card in a drawer during that time.
Sounds like a good idea. I want to mention the emotion of grief, because when death is involved and you lose someone and it's permanent, we know that thinking becomes cloudy. And I want to give you an example of Naomi, who is a widow in the Book of Ruth. And in fact, the Book of Ruth has 3 widows, Naomi, Ruth, and Orpah. And Naomi, interestingly enough, and I won't go into great detail of the story, but she and her husband and 2 sickly children left their home because there was a famine and they were hungry. And they go to a different area. Her husband dies, her sons marry, and both of her sons die. She goes back to her homeland again with one of her daughters-in-law, And she says, I left here full, and now I'm empty. Wait a minute, she left hungry with sickly children, because the definition of their names mean that, and she's coming back with a daughter-in-law who later on, she says, is worth more than seven sons. Was her attention turned around? Absolutely. That's an example, so we need to know that's possible. Don't take big actions when you're in that grief space.
The next one I think that we've both seen with others as we're working with them is reactions to emptiness and loneliness. This can be a really powerful feeling, emotion for us. And this is another one that can wreak havoc on the finances. I know that you've worked, Mom, with several individuals that have tried to kind of fill that emptiness and loneliness with either stuff or spending, sometimes kind of all in the wrong places. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
There's a void. There's this person that isn't there anymore. And the void screams to be filled. Now, we know that every void can only be filled ultimately by God. We know that. But it doesn't mean in our humanness we might not reach out and think, I want to fill that void with stuff. And it won't cost much because I'm going to get a lot of stuff at garage sales and it's going to be cheap. But you're going to need to be sorting and taking care of, or retail therapy is not retail therapy. It's not therapy. As a counselor, that's not therapy. That's spending. And then you have more debt to deal with. So filling the void has to be, first of all, by clinging to God for God's help with that void.
I know you had that experience with one of your widows groups where one of the individuals actually spent quite a bit of money on dating services, over $10,000. And so not only did that not work out too well, but then that lady was relieved of her savings as well. So trying to fill that emptiness again with something, you know, purchased is not filling the void, and it's creating a bigger problem.
And in her case, she did have financial issues anyway and was kind of looking for a man and maybe marriage to solve her financial matters, where we know you go to God and you get it straightened out and you become a person that's whole in your own soul, whole as a person of one, before you start looking at someone else. Now, in our group, we were able to say that to her, whereas other people might not have been able to do that.
That's why we're saying it to you today.
Yes, exactly, because there's going to need to be a resolution to your emptiness, but filling it with the wrong person or persons or the wrong activities, that's going to be a disaster. For instance, you can decide that you are concerned about losing your friends, you're no longer in the couples groups that you were, you're concerned about that. So you can decide, okay, maybe if I treat my friends to events, or maybe if I even give gifts or go out of my way to look out for them, they'll stay with me in my life. Wait a minute, you can't buy friendship.
And that you also can't buy family. And so the same happens. I think people tend to spend money, again, just not wanting to lose any more people in their life. The thing is, yeah, you can't and shouldn't need to buy friendships and love. And so that's another way that, you know, there's a God-sized hole in each one of us. And you may be feeling that very intensely right now. But it's another way where money and people just don't fill that. You know, in that situation, we've both seen basically affinity fraud happens. Now, affinity fraud is where someone who has something in common with us comes alongside, sees a vulnerability, and really goes in and takes advantage. They're basically doing self-dealing. So for someone who's recently had a big loss, they're vulnerable, and we just want to warn you to look out for that. The people that come around you and make financial suggestions to you in a time where you're very vulnerable, watch out and really examine. First of all, I wouldn't do anything they ask you to do in a hurry. Take some time and think about, is that person self-dealing? Is this best for me? Maybe get other opinions. Good, wise, godly counsel about what this other person is suggesting you do.
If they want you to buy a product with your life insurance that you've received because of a loss, you can be for sure that you shouldn't make that decision quickly and do that. And in fact, it may be the really wrong thing to do. There are many products out there that will take your money, diminish that money, and then if something happens to you, if there's anything left, it goes to the company, not to your children. Or another example, someone may say, oh, now you have this money, I know what you should do with that. And I knew of someone who had a friend who wanted to start a restaurant, and he did so with her consent, with her life insurance money. When I heard the idea, I thought, I can't see that being a profitable type of restaurant. That restaurant did not succeed. She found herself taking jobs that were really not a match because she needed to basically feed herself.
And make up that loss. And that person, again, was someone close to her who suggested that. So really may want to think about if someone's making suggestions or pressuring you at a vulnerable time about what to do with your money, they can do that with their money and let you kind of worry about your own.
Good advice, Val. And remember this verse, Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So if you have put your money in a restaurant that is going under, where is this person's attention going to be? At the restaurant and making it work rather than going to God and saying, what's next for me? What is your best for me now?
And that's just another area where, again, wise, godly financial counsel and many counselors can be helpful in that area. I would just not subject yourself to one person speaking into your life about that. Again, especially if their motives are questionable. And that may be hard to discern in the middle of a crisis.
Well, we have some ideas of what characteristics you should look for in people that you're going to listen to that will be hopefully giving you advice and have your best interest at heart. Are they competent? Are they unbiased? Are they honest, helpful, kind, and relevant to your circumstance, not what they're selling or their need?
And we can break that down a little bit. When we're talking about competency in financial matters, we're talking about people who this is their specialty and they have a good reputation doing it. So they've got a good history going. They have whatever letters they need after their name. They have the experience and they should have several good references. And I wouldn't be afraid to ask for those and call them. Sometimes we ask for references and don't check them, but that person should not be offended. They should happily provide references because they've spent a very good sizable chunk of their life building those good references and they would be proud to give them. So competency is key. Godliness is another. And again, you want that person who is a believer, has God on the throne of their life, and is not going to be doing self-dealing. They're going to be dealing with you as someone they are genuinely looking to reach out to and help.
If they say, but I go to your church or I know about your church, and all of a sudden they become an expert on your belief system so that they have your trust, but it's not earned, that's a red flag. That's something to be careful about. And like you said, they really need to have a reputation they've built that you can check into so that you're knowledgeable about the character of this person. Again, remember, we're talking about an emotionally vulnerable time when you can easily make poor decisions.
Let's talk about another really powerful emotion that affects us when we're trying to do finances. And this one is a whopper when it comes to somebody who's had financial difficulty or had some other crisis. And what we're trying to help them avoid is financial difficulty now as a result of letting emotions lead them to a very bad place dealing with their finances. This one is fear. And this one is huge when it comes to dealing with resources.
Well, some statistics now on widows, and this is not just my opinion, okay, this is statistics we now have. When women become widows, one of their common, almost debilitating emotions is fear. And one of the things in the research said that they were less confident making decisions. So that leads to, Valerie, what you were saying about being immobilized. Okay, I'm afraid, so I'm not going to do anything. An example in the New Testament when there's a parable that talks about if you have investments, they need to be working. The one person who had an investment was given an investment and hid it and did nothing. That person did so and was not very pleasing to his boss, but did so because of fear. So there's that emotion.
Yeah, fear tends to bring out all the bad behaviors that we've talked about. Freezing, rash behavior, vulnerability toward people that want to take advantage. So again, as you were saying, if widows are feeling a lack of confidence, they might be vulnerable to someone who's just real smooth, but could be dealing in self-interest. So fear is one that can really whip you around when it comes to finances. And we want to go back to that 2 Timothy 1:7, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and of love and of self-control.
It's incredible to just grab the emotion of God's love for us, to recognize, as we've said, He's not surprised by this circumstance, and He wants to fill the void with good things. So simply to embrace that and say, God has an emotion, He has a love for us, and when we have that love back for Him and He sees us taking little steps toward making good decisions, trusting Him with our fragile emotions, He's going to reward that, and He's going to draw closer to us in that time.
I would say the best advice I would have for somebody who is really having kind of these big emotional swings in a natural reaction to something that's been a crisis is just take that back to the Bible. Take that back to the Lord. You know, we might be feeling kind of these wild up and downs and things that will kind of whip us around and force us to make or cause us to make bad decisions. But check that with Scripture, because just Scripture has this way of, you know, kind of bringing it home to us and really just re-emphasizing how much, you know, the Lord cares for us. He is sovereign over the situation, and He can help us through this.
And He is wise. He gives us words like not doing something rash with our anger quickly. He gives us wisdom of checking with counselors. He tells us in our grief that He wants to comfort us. And for the widow, Isaiah 54:5 tells us that our Maker is our husband. So if we're fearful and we think, I have nobody watching my back, I have nobody caring for me, embracing me, wait a minute. That verse says your Maker is your husband. Well, that's a powerful advocate, let me tell you. And when you honor His word, then He has you at stake, you might say, for His image in the world, because people see you trusting Him, giving Him credit. And it's very important then that we recognize that His love for us is going to not only give us the ability to do good things in spite of these emotions, but also to have that discipline, as that verse says, which we might not feel, but He can give us that in His own strength.
And I just think to wrap up here, I would say, you know, we've gone over some things and talked about how we've both worked with people who have had really bad consequences come from kind of letting emotions interfere with their financial process. But the good news is both of us have seen people who really did kind of conquer that with the Lord's help and get it right. And really having become stronger because they worked all the way through it. It wasn't an instant fix. It was the Lord really strengthened them through the process of becoming diligent about this.
So we want to encourage you to go to widowconnection.com. The outline of what we've talked about is there, the scripture, some suggestions, and we just think this resource will help you.
So we want to encourage you today on this financial journey of starting over that do not let your emotions get in the way. There are all kinds of emotions that can get a hold of you and kind of whip you around, especially when you're trying to deal with finances if you've had unexpected, unwanted change in your life.
One of the resources that you can go to is widowconnection.com, Starting Over Financially. And there you'll see the outline of everything we've talked about today. So if you missed writing down some things, they'll be there. Use that as a guideline, and please know that just take one step at a time, a little bit at a time, and you'll get there. So I'm Miriam Neff.
And I'm Valerie Neff-Hogan.
And we know that you can do this.